And good morning again. You know, I always say it's morning always someplace in the world. So as we gather together, we have everybody in. I want to thank everyone for being so really cool about time changes and things of that nature. But I'm going to start out by saying music is like poetry and has a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definition. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now I'm asking each and every one of you to pull back your musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you're sure to find our quest moments where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibration. So thank you once again for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. And I'd like to add, that perspective is all from where you sit, listen, or view from. And we give the perspective from where we sit and view from an African-American perspective. Well, everybody, this week we represent Breast Cancer Awareness Month and our contribution to the medical healthcare industry. Student host Justin Hill will be accompanied with a new member who joins us today for the first time, Brielle Claire, if I said her name right, but we'll get it straightened out. Our curtain segment for today is on Ramsey Lewis, and I'm going to say the first cut that I played was Ramsey Lewis, but I'm going to have that confirmed by our music director, Mr. Shelton Harris. Well, let me just wrap this up by saying, of course, our honored panelists will contribute their comments. And I want to get everybody to chime in and say good morning before we begin with our first student host. And I'm going to start with Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, was that a Ramsey Lewis cut that I played, I Want to Be With You?
Yes, it was. From his, because he was in a lot of different groups. This was a group called Urban Knights. And yes, it was Ramsey Lewis.
Okay, so good morning to you, Mr. Harris.
Good morning, good morning.
All right, and good morning, Evander, how you doing? Evander Thompson, Mr. Thompson, how you doing?
Doing fantastic.
Now, I need to say, go ahead, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Good morning again, Mr. Thompson. All right. Now, I need to say that someone has background. I can hear the background. The television is on. Please, you know, do what you can to eliminate all background noise. Tanisha Gardner, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Okay. All right. Brielle, our newest addition, say good morning.
Hi.
Oh, all right. What, Brielle, please introduce yourself.
My name is Brielle.
What's your last name?
My name is Brielle Claire, and So I like singing and dancing, and I also like reading books and doing math.
Okay. You heard that, Mr. Harris? She likes doing math. Okay. All right.
That's a lovely thing.
There you go. We're gonna clean it up and move on. And now it's time for our first segment. Right, and featuring Justin Hill, the real deal. Take it away and open us up.
Hey, it's student host Justin Hill on Questions Studios, and history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply in your balance to find yourself. And my diamond segment is on cancer. And cancer is a popular type of disease, and a lot of people have it. Also, a lot of people beat cancer. A person who has beat cancer is NFL player Eric Berry. There are many types of cancer, such as leukemia, and that is the cancer of the blood. Leukemia begins when healthy blood cells change and grow uncontrollably. One of the first places a cancer often spreads is to the lymph nodes. Lymph nodes are tiny, bean-shaped organs that help fight infection. It may also spread through your bloodstream. Some types of cancer do not form a tumor. And that is it for my segment of Diamonds, and I thank you guys for listening.
Okay, well, you don't get off the hook that easy. I need you to talk about the significance of breast cancer awareness, because what you just did was you gave us a definition of cancer. But talk about breast cancer awareness, and while you're doing that, talk about your participation in the walk.
The reason why we had to move the show was because I did have a walk from my school, a breast cancer awareness walk, and there was like a lot of people there, and they were supporting one another, and I actually did interview people, and my teacher, Ms. Schuster, her aunt did have Facebook cancer. And she was at the walk to support and help raise money. And many people during the walk, their families had cancer, and they just wanted to be supportive for each other.
Okay. Now, did you do the research on how breast cancer awareness started?
Yes, I did.
Well, I'd be interested to find out how did this breast cancer awareness walk? How did this become, because this is October every year now, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So how did this all come about?
So it all started because some people had cancer, and the Breast Cancer Awareness Month began to educate women about breast cancer.
Okay, so is that it?
That's all I found.
Okay, so I need to tell you that there is more information to the origins. In fact, one of our president's wives actually was instrumental in starting breast cancer and supporting people with breast cancer. And it started out as a week, and it ended up turning into a month. So I'm going to ask you to dig back into your research and do some more there. But right now we're going to continue musically, right? And when we come back, we're going to hear our newest addition, Brielle, talk about another segment, right? And please do help her out with the introduction, Justin. We'll be right back. You're tuned to Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio.
Young, gifted, and black. To be young, gifted, and black. Young, gifted, and black. To be young, gifted, and black.
To be young, gifted, and black and own it. It's more than a moment, it's like the sun rose to condone it. Before we was trapped in, we was trapped in. Sun and the whips kissing our black skin. Strange fruit hanging, smell the jasmine. Ride the Coltrane, listen to jazz then. Back then, back then. We came with names like James, Fatima, Nina, King, Dreamer, Redeemer of the people. Songs for the Hebrew, original, spiritual content. You can smell it when it's God sent. We keep it moving every day, we the target. The young, gifted, and black on the market. Cause of that we pay with our lives. Or either catching charges, but yo, the goddess is a God did. Young, gifted, and black. Goddamn Ferguson, goddamn Staten Island, goddamn Baltimore, goddamn America, damn. I tell you who I am, but you don't understand. Cross the waters I swam, son and daughters of the land. Yeah, we the black sheep, but you slaughtering the lamb. You try to silence with your sirens. Sounds of violence do nothing but divide us. Evolution of revolution, retribution is due us. The old ways of the U.S., it ain't the new us. Tell them we the stars, they can't shoot us. From prisons to wars, you can no longer recruit us. Salvation is due us even before we change. God knew us. God knew us. Yeah, God know us.
Quest Youth Radio. Thank you for being here. And I want to bring in our panelists to chop up the beginning of the show where we talked about cancer and we talked about Breast Cancer Awareness Month. My question to the panelists is, first of all, what do you think about the presentation by our student host, Justin Hill? And more importantly, have you had someone or someone you know in your family who has contracted cancer? We want to start out with Tanisha Gardner.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, you did a really good job, Justin. Do I know anybody with cancer? No. I know they had diabetes. So if you want to talk about disease, then yes. It's something to really think about, you know, and it's a good subject to talk about.
Okay. Evander. Talk to me.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognize the origin of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Like, it started off as a week, as you said, and became a month and, you know, presidential campaigns and things of that nature. So it's really interesting to see how things kind of materialize to what they are today. And it's important to recognize where they come from. I haven't had someone personally in my family that had cancer, but one of my best friends, his mom had breast cancer. And when those things happen, because it's the most common cancer in women, when those things happen, it kind of gives you a different perspective on life and kind of makes you, you know, reconsider some things. So it's interesting, the month and the time that we're in, and I really like to see all these adventures and stuff, but I always think back to those moments when, you know, someone close to you has this. But yeah, it's something that I'm so happy that we had the research to continue to forge and, you know, kind of battle this. And it was really interesting that Betty Ford started it back all those years, so.
Okay. Well, you bring up a very interesting point, and that is, you know, a lot of times diseases, viruses, they don't really become important to individual people until it happens to you or someone you know. And that's when you take a stake in the investment of finding out and trying to find a cure and being concerned, unfortunately. I want to hand it over to Mr. Harris. Any comments?
If I can just chime in again.
Mr. Harris, I had your microphone muted, right, because I heard the football game in the background. Mr. Harris, my apologies. Please make a comment.
All right, so what I was saying was that, you know, Justin made a couple of good points about cancer, especially the fact that some people can beat it. I know a couple individuals who were told that it was life-threatening for them, and then they went to some alternative medicine doctors, and they're still out here kicking way beyond when the traditional doctors thought they wouldn't. And as far as people who haven't beat it, my sister succumbed to lung cancer. You know, so I understand that it's a double-edged sword when it comes to cancer. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But like Evander was saying, every time it makes you consider how you live in your life. And, you know, it makes you look at things a lot differently. And it's very important that we look beyond ourselves. And then that way we'll be able to see ourselves even more clearly. So it was a good statement for Justin.
Okay. Well, you know, we can go deeper, but of course we're going to stay on task. And I do want to mention, you know, when you talk about the healthcare system in general, there are disparities, you know, and we're going to go into the history of Black people in the medical field, and we're going to hand it over to our newest addition, Brielle, to bring us some doctors that, you know, broke the color line. Well, if they weren't able to break it, they sure enough got in there to find out and become doctors themselves. And, you know, just curious. So I'm talking too much. Let me hand it over to Brielle. Take it away for a diamond segment on Henrietta Lacks.
Hello, my name is Brielle. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflection of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. So for my segment, I'm going to be doing Henrietta Lacks. In 1951, a mom of five named Henrietta Lacks went to Johns Hopkins Hospital. For my first segment, she went there suffering from vaginal bleeding. Back then, Johns Hopkins Hospital was one of the few hospitals that could treat African Americans. Mrs. Lacks started taking radium medicine to help her cervical cancer. At the time, that was the best medicine because of a horrific disease. Her cancer cells were sent to Dr. Gray's nearby lab center. What Dr. Gray discovered was that Mrs. Lacks had unique cells that would double every 20 to 24 hours. They started to use toxic drugs, hormones, poisons, and viruses in her cells without her or her family's permission for stuff like COVID-19 vaccines and polio to study human genome. Sadly, she passed away October 4th at the age of 31. That is my segment for Henrietta Lacks and her story.
Okay. Now, you know, we're going to chop it up a bit before we go to any music. You know, Brielle, I got to come back to you. What was significant about Henrietta, Miss Lacks, in the information that you researched?
The most important thing about her was basically how, well, one thing is that they used different things in her cell to, for stuff in the future, like COVID-19 vaccines, to study human genome, and without her or her family's permission. So if I were ever in her shoes, I would feel disappointed, heartbroken, or I would feel like I can't really trust anyone, but, you know, I would need the help.
Okay. Now, that's a very good point. Tanisha, you know, the medical field has, you know, or the healthcare system, you know, this country, you know, practiced religiously and still to this day segregation, especially in hospitals. A lot of times we talk about restaurants and hotels and things of that nature, but we overlook the fact that medical or hospital were segregated as well. And there were all white hospitals that wouldn't allow any kind of medical treatment, right? But here we have Henrietta Lacks, whose body blood cells are still being used today in modern-day vaccines. Do you have a comment of any kind?
Yeah, it just made you think, I guess legacy-wise, I guess the universe has something else in plan, because the fact that they chose her to go to Johns Hopkins, and that that she's actually been using now in 2022 and on, that speaks volume of how powerful our bodies are. And number two, that's definitely a disgrace and disrespectful, but they never did care about us. So that speaks volumes of who they are, you know, especially when you think about the medical field. You know, with the Tuskegee experiment with the syphilis, you know, how they were, you know, ejecting the young men with syphilis and the detrimental effect that it has, you know, had on our communities. And it's something to really think about. And I think that was the whole big scare, especially with this COVID. That's something, you know, it just makes you think how they use these chemicals, like biochemical warfare, against us, you know, especially when they talk about gain of function, how they have these chemicals, and then they expedite it to make it more harmful. And it's something to really look at and really to delve in. And we definitely need more of our brothers and sisters to be in the medical field so they can protect us. So when they are trying these biological warfares on us, we'd be able to combat it through natural remedies, through food, because food is a mechanism that they're using us to poison us, and that's why so many people are having cancers, are having diabetes, and a lot of them can't fight it. Because, you know, when you look at other countries, like, for example, in Europe, they don't put as many chemicals in their food versus in America. You know, you read the ingredients, it's straight to the point. You read it in America, half the chemicals you cannot even pronounce, you know. So I think that's something really to look at and delve into. And we have to find ways that we could grow our own food that does have the nutrients that's in it that can be able to heal our body and to be able to combat the diseases before they hit our system. And I think that's very important to look at.
All right. Evander, you have a comment?
Yeah, it's probably really interesting. Like, I remember in elementary school, we read, that was one of the first, like, stories in African-American history that we read, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, and I always think about, like, the really interesting ways that they use themselves, unjustifiably, of course, but, you know, from polio, from freaking going to the first space mission to see what would happen to human cells and zero gravity, there's a lot of, like, really exploitative ways. And it's kind of feeding off of what was already previously said, but it's kind of been this into the 70s era where, like, African-American women were being mistreated against in hospitals, a lot of medical malpractice across the board. And this story of somebody who was relatively unknown and kind of are known in some spheres was just exploited for groundbreaking scientific research, and it just shows that it shows like a greater picture of what African Americans have been through. Okay, so whenever I think about Henrietta Lacks, I just think about moments that I always flash back to whenever I hear that name.
Oh, okay. Evander, I need to bring attention to your phone posture. Make sure your phone is on speaker and make sure you're speaking directly into the receiver so that you're not, because you're coming in, you're dropping in and out, and we're missing some parts of what you have to actually say, right? So please be conscious and aware of that as we come back around. Mr. Harris, what is your comment to Henrietta Lacks or to healthcare disparities in general?
Well, yeah, well, you know, everybody kind of hit it on the head, and you when you even talked about segregation was more than just counters for people to eat. But the thing that really bothers me about Henrietta Lacks, for those 50, 60 years that they were using her cells, these pharmaceutical companies made multi-billion dollars off of the research they did by using her cells. And her family is impoverished. I mean, they live in beyond poor. And even after people bring up the fact that, you know, her family didn't get any kind of retribution for stealing her cells, you know, there still hasn't been any reparations for her family. And these are the kind, you know, these are the types of things that have always went on. And, you know, it's more like out of sight, out of mind when it comes to black people, just like that guy who came up, that gynecologist who came up with the speculum for women. He practiced on black women, and he had a whole lot of failures before he had success. These black women weren't given any anesthetics, and he was just tearing them up. And then when the next one came, he's like, oh, this didn't work, so we'll throw this one out. And because they had the idea that black people didn't feel pain like white people did. This is just the mindset of how terrible they were as a culture. But Henrietta Lacks was definitely a sister that we need to keep her name out there, and maybe her family can get some kind of retribution for her gift, because it was actually a gift, her gift to the medical community.
Right, or a gift to humanity, like so many gifts that African Americans have contributed to the world. And on that note, we're going to return back to Brielle for her next segment. But before we do, I want to say, Brielle, breathe and slow down. You're excited, and I hear you. You're doing a great job. And I want to give everybody something to think about. Mr. Harris mentioned it, right, reparations. But James Brown, he called it the big payback.
Payback. Payback. big payback.
The big payback.
That's where I live. Oh, for the big payback.
The big payback.
I can do wheeling. I can do dealing.
Just pay.
But I don't do no damn squealing. I can dig rapping. I'm ready. I can dig strapping. But I can't dig that backstabbing.
Oh, no.
The brother getting ready. That's the bank. Getting ready, you mother. All the big payback.
Big pay.
Let me hit him. Hit him, Fred. Hit him.
Back over to Brielle, our student host, right? Take it away.
So for my segment two, I'm going to be doing Rebecca Lee Crumpless. In 1864, several years after being a nurse, Rebecca Lee Crumpler was the first black woman to receive a medical degree. She earned it at an England female medical college in Boston, Massachusetts, where she was also the first black woman to graduate. After the Civil War, she moved to Richmond, Virginia, where she worked at Freedmen's Bureau to provide treatment for freed slaves. Later then, her notes about her became a published book sharing about her story. She is important because she helped freed slaves, and even though they were free, they still weren't able to participate in important things to make money with good jobs.
Brielle, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. It sounded like you just went to the end. I had no idea that you had concluded your segment. What's significant about Rebecca Lee Crumpler?
She helped freed slaves. She helped freed slaves and provided treatment for them because she's important because even though the freed slaves, they were free, they still weren't able to participate in important things like good jobs to make money or being able to go to good places for treatment and care.
Okay. I think that the most significant thing about her is that the fact that she was the first African-American woman to receive a medical degree in America, and that stands out to me as being the most significant thing, right? So I just want to highlight that to you, right? And, in fact, I want to turn it over to our panelists to ask them, had they ever heard, Tanisha, starting with you, of Rebecca Lee Crumpler and her being the first female black woman to receive a medical degree?
No, this is my first time hearing of her, and that's why this is an important show, because we are learning about our great ancestors. It was so funny because they were saying, it's not funny, but figure of speech. It just said, but it was so like intense racism that they thought that a man's brain was 10% bigger than a woman's brain. And that was the excuse for not, you know, approving her prescriptions for patients or listening to her for medical opinions. And that is something crazy. But just because of her perseverance and her her own integrity and her believing in herself and not giving up, that that she's prevalent right now to this day, and that it speaks volumes, especially to our generations and all the generations, that no matter what people might think or what they say of you, that you have to believe in yourself and that you have to keep pushing on, because you can change people's lives and your name can also ring bells in many decades to come.
All right. Evander, take it away. What do you think? Have you ever heard of Rebecca Lee Crumpler being the first African-American woman to receive a medical degree?
You know, what's interesting. I've never heard of her before, and it kind of goes to show, like, backing up Tanisha again, this is the reason why, this is one of the reasons why we do this show, and it's another reason why we need to constantly educate ourselves, because how could we not know about the first African-American, not only African-American, but woman that got her medical degree. And it's interesting because just doing some research on her yesterday, a lot of African-Americans who helped during the Civil War and after the Civil War didn't receive credit for it, and she was very instrumental in providing treatment for care for thousands of slaves after the war. So this is just another tale of, you know, we overlook so many people who have made incredible contributions to American society, and it also shows, you know, sexism. Like, she showed that she could step up in comparison to her male counterparts, not only succeeding but thriving in her role. So Crumpler is definitely someone in history who needs their flowers.
Absolutely. And I want to add to Brielle, she also published a book, right, about medicine and the medical field. Let's move on. Mr. Harris, had you ever heard of Rebecca Lee Crumpler?
Sadly, no. But from the information that we got in today, I'm really not surprised of the achievements that our people do when given the opportunity. And see, a lot of times we weren't given the opportunity. And when it came to medicine, even back during slavery, you know, most of the colonizers and stuff came to the sisters that were herbalists back then. And that's how they were getting their kids and their little fevers and stuff alleviated, by dealing with the holistic medicine that they were doing during slavery. So the fact that she was able to excel in the medical field is laudable, but not surprising, because we can do whatever we want if given the opportunity to do so.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Harris. We're going to tear into another musical cut, right? Probably with Ramsey Lewis somewhere in that mix. But right now, musically, we continue with the tune called Brazilian. Radio and the Best Youth Radio. Right now, I want to let everybody know that everyone's microphone is on, but I want to hand it back over to our student host, a new addition, Brielle. Take it away.
For my third and last segment, it's going to be Jane Cook Wright. After receiving her medical degree, Jane Cook Wright worked at Research Foundation in Harlem back in 1948. They researched about chemotherapy, which led to patients with leukemia and lymphoma. Later in 1952, Dr. Wright became the lead of Research Foundation at the age of 33. She used different techniques to test the drug effects on cancer cells by using patients' tissues to work on instead of using lab mice. She moved to New York and worked at New York's Medical Center. Her research and techniques helped change chemotherapy for better treatment. She is important because she made changes to chemotherapy with better ways into helping patients with cancer.
Okay, and again, every time you end your segment, you have to say, that concludes my segment, diamonds or definitions or whatever it is, so that we know that you ended. Because you have a pause sometimes in between your words, and we have no idea whether you ended or not, right? So we're going to continue on right now, right, by bringing in one of the things that we've done here is gone full circle. We started out talking about breast cancer awareness, but we've ended up with a doctor, another female black doctor, Jane Cook Wright, who actually examined and studied and did experiments with what happened exactly is most of the experimentation was going on with mice as it pertained to cancer cells. And what she did was she went into actually bringing out human tissues, and she did experiments with that. And that helped come up with different techniques for chemotherapy as it pertains to cancer in general for all mankind or womankind or all human beings. Anyway, let me bring in all the panelists And, you know, it's kind of like almost a wrap on the content and things that we talked about. But first of all, we're going to bring in Mr. Harris. Mr. Harris, Jane Cook Wright and the overall show.
Oh, again, it was the name of somebody that I had never heard of prior to this, you know, and but the fact that she was of the mind to understand that maybe you have to use human cells to figure out what works on human people. Because, like you said, they used to use, try it on a rat, see how a rat, you know, rat's just like a human. And she had the foresight to understand that we have to do things a little differently, especially if the other stuff isn't working. You know, because actually there really has been a cure for cancer for over 100 years. But it's not something that you can make any money on. It's a natural cure. And, you know, and the pharmaceutical companies have been banning that. Everybody who brings it out coincidentally comes up dead for some reason, you know. And these are things that, you know, the oncology department was really started by the Rockefeller family. So they teach you this is what you got to do, you know. So whoever comes up with something outside of that is going to be a problem because it's a business. You know, and if you can cure people, then they're not going to stay in business that long. Their business is to get the comeback, just like every other drug dealer.
Okay, so.
Okay, I'll stop there.
I love you and everything, but you have to provide some kind of substantial direction that we can look into to, you know, support what you just said. So I have to challenge.
No,
you.
Well,
is the cure?
No, there is research. Google the cure of cancer, the 100-year cure. You can Google that, and it'll come up. You know, I'm not just throwing dust in the wind. You know, I wouldn't have brought it up if it was just something else. But because there's a lot of things that are not really to the average person.
Okay. No, but thank you for providing that information, all right? And so our young people and everybody on the panel, that's your assignment. Let's look into that. Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Harris. Right now, I want to bring in, give you an opportunity, Denisha Gardner, to talk about Jane Cook Wright and, you know, sum up the show. Any way you'd like to make in a comment. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. So they also I agree with Mr. Harris because when you look at to Dr. Sebi and how he was curing many patients, especially with AIDS, and then it came and killed him, and that's a fact because he actually went to court about it, and it actually got dismissed. So it is very powerful. And just a simple fact that she knew to use human cells versus rat cells, which they still use to this day in experiments, that speaks volumes. So just imagine if we had like thousands of, you know, Dr. Wrights that understand the science and the mechanism of how the body works and how the body can heal itself. That's very powerful and it speaks volumes. And another thing I want to note about Dr. Jane Wright, she was the first woman to be elected president of the New York Cancer Society. So I guess, like I said before, we got to look into why so many people are getting ill, and what's causing it to happen. And they always talk about prevention, and I think we need to get back into the ways of preventing things from happening. You know, how do we be more healthy? When you look into our community, when you go to the corner store, you don't have anything healthy. They have fruits that are rotten. They have vegetables that are rotten. And sometimes they might not even have fruits or vegetables. And that's something to look at. And especially with the GMOs that they're putting in our food, which is genetically modified organisms that is not even natural. So you're not getting the full nutrients from the food, like the vitamins that God has created within these compounds of the plants, and that's something to really dig into.
Okay, thank you very much. Evander.
Happy to have the new young hosts. It's always good to see new faces, or hear new faces, so to speak. Yeah, a lot of things we can clean up, but overall great show, and I'm happy that with this show, we always learn something that we didn't know before, and it's something that's not just good knowledge to know, but something that we should know if we're, you know, representing our people with this show. And just to go off the whole cancer cure thing, it's like, it makes you wonder sometimes whether there is one out there or there isn't, because it seems like you have a lot of case studies of people who show that they've been cured naturally. And you think, when you think about the pharmaceutical industry, it has always been historically something that has been very lucrative for a lot of people. And if there were a cure for cancer out there, then they, obviously people would lose money. So it does make you think, and it raises some questions, but overall, I think the show was good, and I think we kind of got the ball rolling with some discussions that we need to constantly have and look within ourselves when it comes to what's happening around us.
Okay. Now, this is the last segment that I'm always proud to talk about, and that's curtains. You see, curtains talks about a musical artist and what they've done behind the curtains of the stage, musically, but more importantly, for the community. Mr. Harris, take it away.
Yeah, today's curtain is for the brother Ramsey Lewis. He's been a pianist for, you know, he started his first band in like 1950s. And he's always been an innovator. He's been playing different types of music. You know, he, later on in his life, he started leaning more toward popular music. You know, he kind of got together with Earth, Wind & Fire for the Sun Goddess album. He did stuff with Nancy Wilson and the Urban Nights, that little, some of the cuts we played earlier, had like Earl Klug, Grover Washington Jr., stuff like that. So he was getting together playing a lot of different stuff. But what he was really mainly known for was he grew up in the Cabrini-Green projects in Chicago, and he has been really instrumental in a lot of the music that's going on in Chicago as far as teaching. There's like the Merritt School of Music. They have different programs and stuff for kids that have to deal, you know, if you, you know anything about Chicago, it's not really the best place to be doing a lot of positive things, but he made sure that a lot of positive things got done. You know, he was a radio personality. He was, you know, he won Grammys, he won a whole lot of stuff, and he's been instrumental in doing a lot of things in the in his community, and he always has. And sadly, he died recently, and this is something that we're going to have to, you know, keep him in mind, because he's definitely did a lot of stuff. I'm sorry for the shortness of the program.
Okay, so that's going to be a wrap. I want to ask our student host, Justin Hill, to close us out.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. So, Justin, could you close us out? First of all, I'd like to thank all the panelists for contributing. You are honored. And so are your comments and taking your time out to readjust your schedules. Right, Justin, can you close us out?
I'd like to thank everyone for joining us on Questy's video. Please check out our next show on 89.5 FM, The Kings of Seton Hall in South Orange. And Questy's video is the best radio.
The best radio.